You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
She hosted a so-called Prayer of Blessing event for a new Cleveland abortionist. Former Planned Parenthood worker Abby Johnson, now an advocate for life, says anyone like Young who claims to be a Christian and pro-abortion is really distorting the Bible.
It takes a lot of mental gymnastics, honestly, to be a Christian person or to say you are a Christian person and to support abortion. If you call yourself a Christian and you're pro-choice, that's probably not the only thing that you are having to justify in your life.
I'm Jason Wirt.
California schools will no longer be able to use the Redskins name or mascot. Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill banning the name, which many Native Americans find offensive. California is the first state in the nation to ban the name. The law goes into effect in 2017. A Washington Post reporter is guilty of espionage in Iran after being imprisoned for more than 400 days. The country's judiciary announced yesterday that a verdict had been reached in the case of Jason Rezaian. The executive editor for the Post calls the conviction an outrageous injustice and repeated his call for Tehran to release Rezaian. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon, and the weather today for Columbus Day is sunny with a high near 75. South winds around 6 miles per hour. Tonight, there'll be increasing clouds with a low around 53. South winds around 6 miles per hour and it becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday, scattered showers, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 72. Light south winds becoming southwest 5 to 9 miles an hour in the morning, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. The new precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible. Tuesday night will be mostly cloudy with a low around 50, west wind 6 to 8 miles per hour. Wednesday is supposed to be partly sunny with a high near 64, and Wednesday night partly cloudy with a low around 41. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we're on the air, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI has a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, where we are, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We work out of our houses. We use our own phones, etc. We try to help people and families who have someone in their family or who is suffering from a mental health issue. And we do this in various ways. We teach classes to families. It's a 12-week course called Family to Family, which tries to help the people understand better what their loved one or friend or whoever is going through. We have support groups. We try to support people to get them through their tough times. Some of us have been there. Some of us are going through the same thing, and it's something to consider. We have them once a month, and we do educating the educators. We try to teach the teachers what to look for in children if there's a change and so on and so forth. We try to educate law enforcement about mental health issues. Everything we do is free. Everything. There is no charge for anything. Some of them you have to register for, but it's totally free. Mental Health Matters radio show is an award-winning show from the Governor's Council on Stigma. And we received this award about a year and a half ago, and we're very privileged because we're one of the few radio stations that ever got one. So we are very proud to have that. We are very proud also today to have Emily Wu Truong. Emily, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Larry.
You may have to talk up just a little bit. You there?
Yes.
Okay. Emily is from the beautiful state of California, if I recall, which I do. And if I'm not mistaken, you're from around Los Angeles area?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Actually in Los Angeles or a suburb of thereof?
In the L.A. County, but the San Gabriel Valley.
Oh, okay. I believe I mentioned once before we talked, my daughter lived out in California for a while. She started out in Anaheim, and then they moved to Laguna Niguel, and were there for a while. And
okay, that's Orange County.
I'm sorry?
That is Orange County.
Yes, okay. Great beaches, I can tell you that. But, you know, ironic, I don't think I would ever say that, but I miss the grass. When I was out in California visiting her, it was all sand and gravel and what have you. And I actually missed having grass, you know. Not that I love cutting it, because I don't. I hate it.
Right.
But my allergies and everything get in the way when I cut grass. But it was just, you know, it was just that, you know, I missed having it around, you know. But it was a beautiful area, I have to say that. Anaheim, it was nice, but she lived near the Disney thing there, and but the Laguna Niguel was very nice. The beach, the piers, you know, the water, that was all awesome, actually. And then, you know, we took my granddaughter and her, and we took a ride down to San Diego and went down to the zoo down there and so on and so forth. So it was interesting. She's now back in New Jersey, so I don't have to worry about going to California. But
I see. Was she over there for school?
No, actually, she was there for work.
Oh, okay.
Company she worked for in New Jersey was bought out by a company from California, and they transferred everybody out there.
Okay.
And then they were bought out by a company from Rhode Island, and they all transferred back. So.
But, well, you know, if you ever come to Los Angeles, you're more than welcome to network with me and meet all the other NAMI family over here. So.
Well, that I appreciate that offer. I may even take you up on it.
Well, you're welcome.
Now, I know that the last time I believe we talked, you were saying that, you know, you have mental health issues. I don't recall. I think it was bipolar?
Depression and anxiety was the diagnosis.
I'm sorry?
Depression and anxiety.
Oh, okay. And at the time, you were taking no medication. You were taking holistic, and you were exercising. Are you still doing that?
Correct. I don't dance as often as I would like for exercise, but I go to a support group called Recovery International. And those groups have been so helpful because they've helped me to change my thinking, my thought patterns from frantic to more calm, solution-oriented, and just more changing my insecure thought to secure thoughts. So it's been very, very practical and helpful.
Well, that's great. You know, and like I think I said the last time, whatever works, you do, you know?
Right.
I mean, if this works for you and, you know, whether it's meditation or holistic or whatever it is, if it works, do it. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be medication.
Right.
I only tell people that you know, just be aware that down the road you may have to take some medication to, in conjunction with what else you're doing, because your body changes, you get older, it's, you know, different things happen, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But whatever works, do it, you know, because, you know, if it works for you, it may not work for me, but if it works for you, that's all that matters, you know, because it's, it's your life, you know what I mean?
Right, definitely. I like how in NAMI they teach you, they teach the in our own voice speakers to say, like, if anyone asks you about, like, your medication or something, you have to say, well, what may work for me may not work for you.
So exactly.
They tell us to
That's exactly right. And now I understand that you were at the last NAMI National Conference in San Francisco. Is that correct?
Yes, I got a scholarship to attend, so registration fees are covered. I was so excited to attend, to meet other NAMI families, like the NAMI family on a national level, and even meeting the board members as well, NAMI national board members.
Well, that's so awesome. I'm glad you got the scholarship and were able to attend. You had mentioned some of the topics was how the brain works.
Yeah.
And you said left brain personality versus the right brain personality. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you like explain that a little bit?
So one of the keynote speakers that they invited was Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor. One of her, she's known for her TED Talk about, let's see, something like My Stroke of Insight or something is what it was called, something like that. And she's a brain surgeon, and she was telling us that our brains work differently, our left brain versus our right. Our left brain personality is like, you know, is the social justice advocate, very analytical, critical, and believes that the world should be a certain way. And so it wants to be right more than anything. It doesn't want to feel like it's in the wrong. But the right brain personality is like, has an attitude of patience, empathy, compassion, love, and would rather have peace over power. So kind of respecting others and where they are at in their life and just kind of minding your own business. And I think sometimes in our lives, every day, we have to figure out how do we utilize these two different personalities in our brain, because we need our peace of mind in order to have sanity.
Well, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But then there's also like, but then we also have a social justice advocate inside of us that is like, well, you know, that is easily disappointed. But what I've learned from Martin Luther King Jr. is that we cannot lose hope in the midst of all the disappointments.
No, because, so, you know, let's face it, we're all going to have disappointments.
Yeah.
You know, there's all things in our life, whether you have mental health issues or not, you're going to have disappointments. And, you know, it's, and I guess part of it is how you deal with it, you know. Some people can't deal with it, and it affects them, you know, very seriously. And others deal with it. They don't like it, but they deal with it, and, you know, yada, yada. But it's just interesting to me because I never realized that, you know, yeah, I realized there was a left side of the brain and a right side of the brain, but never really looked into it that, you know, what the right side does as opposed to the left side, you know. So it's, I think it's kind of interesting because you have to get that right. Well, let's call it a right combination between the two, you know, to face life's problems and go on with life, you know.
Right. Most definitely. And when I went to the NAMI National Conference and they were talking about stigma and how do we build collaborations in our communities to alleviate the stigma to alleviate the social stigma, I stood up and I shared my story of being stigmatized and discriminated when I went to my high school. And I think I told you this in a previous interview before, and I share this because, you know, like when I went back to my high school as a concerned alumna, and caring about, you know, what are the services that the school is providing for the children, for the students when they need help, when I thought I had good conversations with the school administrators, they had created a post on my face at the school saying, "This woman is not welcome here." Mm. And it was so hurtful. But at the NAMI National Conference, when I told that story, I said, that experience only made me stronger.
Right.
Because it helped me to realize the stigma is real and stigma exists. But it's not going to stop me because I know that my message is impactful and is going to help the younger generation or anyone to know that they are not struggling in silence on their own. Like, I may be one person, but I know I'm a person who makes a difference because when I share my story, I know that I'm allowing the others who may have been feeling the same way to know that they aren't alone.
Right.
But sometimes their feelings, people think that their feelings are facts. And I learned this from Recovery International, that feelings are not facts.
Right. No, that's true. And, you know, it's not only in California.
Right.
I think, you know, in Jersey, we have the same problem. Schools don't want people to come in and talk to the students about mental health issues and what to do and how to handle it and so on and so forth. And it's only recently that some of the schools have allowed people to come in and speak to the students, but mainly talk to the teachers. Because, you know, let's face it, in this day and age, families, you know, both husband, wife working, they may not get home till 7-8 o'clock at night, just argumentatively. Right. And who spends most time with the child? The teacher, you know, or a teacher. So to educate the teachers, that's why we have the program called Educating the Educators. But if to educate the teachers so they can be on the look out, if they have someone, a child, say they had him, you know, 2 years ago and he was happy and go lucky and, you know, answered questions and he, you know, interacted with his fellow students. And now he's quiet, doesn't talk, doesn't interact. You know, there's something happening, you know, and to be aware of it and how to address it and so on and so forth. So, I mean, I totally feel for you and your experience in school. That's terrible. It should never happen to anybody. I don't care who it is. But it does, you know.
Right.
And more often than we think.
Right. Yeah. I think it happens because, like, not everyone is up to the times in terms of learning the tools and to be able to be a supportive community. I think when you say that the trainings are not given to the students yet, but are given to the adults, well, it's because the adults need to be trained first. They need to, and they don't realize they're still dealing with the myths of mental health, mental illness. They think that mental health is all about what's wrong with you.
Right. Right.
They don't realize it's also about what's right with you. And our society is like people are so in such denial about their challenges, their problems, that they're taught to save face and look like, oh, you know, I'm perfect. And if I give in and say I have a problem, then it shows that I'm weak. But when you're actually vulnerable and you're open about it, sharing your story, it only shows how much inner strength you really have.
Exactly.
And when you ask to seek help, you know, it just shows how we're social animals. We need help. We need each other. And we can't face this life alone.
No, and you know, I give people like you, like my son, a lot of credit, you know, because you're facing problems that the average person doesn't have to face. And, you know, you're living your life in spite of the problems. In fact, my son mentioned probably about a year ago, his mantra is to live his life to the fullest in spite of his illness. What else can you ask for? You know, I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. Now,
Actually, when I was growing up, I admired elders who, when they would get cancer or something, they would not let their illness define them, and they would have an attitude like your son, carpe diem. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm going to continue to have a good life despite this illness, you know?
So right.
Attitude makes a whole lot of huge difference.
It does, and sometimes it takes a while to get to that attitude, though, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. In my speaking engagements, I often say, Mother Teresa said, the greatest disease of all is to be a nobody to anybody.
Right.
And so, you know, these feelings of worthlessness can be so strong in an individual that it causes them to have such learned hopelessness to the point they want to end their life.
Right.
And that's why I call the mental health movement a love revolution. And we're trying to do away with the ignorance, the judgmentalism, and bring in acceptance, compassion, empathy. It'll take a while, but, you know, it's like...
Well, we are making steps. We are making steps toward that. I mean, not as far as along as we'd all like it to be, but it has improved, you know, over the past few, you know, a couple of years back. But it's going to take a while yet, and it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know...
No, it won't. I mean, I think I've learned a lot from Martin Luther King Jr. as one of the leaders of the civil rights movement. And I think that every movement, even like the LGBTQ, is like every movement is trying to push for acceptance in their communities, even the disabilities movement, right? Like, you know, people who think they're normal will judge those who are physically or mentally handicapped and see them as, oh, us versus them, you know,
right.
That they're strange. Or, you know, we gotta do away with the us versus them. It's about all of us. We're all humans living under the same sun, moon, and stars.
Exactly.
We're all human brothers and sisters.
And you know, so, you hosted, you have some events you hosted for mental health awareness to address Asian American mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind speaking to that a little bit? Like, what were some of those events?
Sure. Yeah. As the chair of the Asian Coalition, I was able to host two mental health awareness events in my community to... the first event was in April, and we had over 80 people, and the event was called Breaking the Silence on Asian American Mental Health, and it was such a fabulous event, and many congratulated me at the end of the event, and then I got my first grant with the Know the Signs Suicide Prevention Campaign, And with the money, I was able to collaborate with the Asian Youth Center in San Gabriel. And they helped me to get over 150 Chinese-speaking parents, immigrants, to attend the event. It was called Understanding Your Child, Finding Resources to Help Your Family. And so we also got the mayor of San Gabriel mm-hmm. and the vice mayor to come out. They happen to be Asians as well. And the mayor, Jason Poo, shared his story of growing up with bullying, because his last name is P-U, Poo. So as a kid, you know, I can imagine how much bullying he might have had to deal with.
Right.
And he talked about his depression. And then he also talked about how, you know, there is no shame and we need to talk about it. We need to get help. So I was so thrilled when I was able to get elected officials with the help of the Asian Youth Center to come. And we got some press video footage and also in the newspapers for the Chinese newspapers and TV news. And just, wow, like, it just, I was so happy that there were different Chinese-speaking news agencies that wanted to help us promote the awareness. It especially helped that the event happened at a very interesting time, because the weekend before, there was a girl named Mira Hu from San Marino High School. And San Marino is known for its high academic achieving performance in the state of California. And so she was taking her SATs test, and that a weekend before our event, or a weekend or two. And so the news, it was all over the news, every news station in English, LA Times, and wherever, was talking about Mira Hu going missing. And then the week, so LA 18 News Channel, you know, interviewed us to help us highlight our event, and to say, hey, this event is coming up and we want you to be able to have good relationships with your children, to have effective communication. Because one thing that I think immigrant parents, no matter what country they're coming from, they sometimes don't realize how acculturation affects their family.
Right.
And
right.
Like, so I got to share my story. And I talked about how, like, you know, living in the home with my parents versus living at, like, going to school, it's like there's two different, like, it's two different cultures where, like, certain terms have different meanings, like respect.
Right.
Like, in the Asian culture, respect means you obey your parents. You do as the authority figures tell you. You don't talk back, you know? And the younger you are, the less your voice matters. And so me being the youngest in my family, I felt like my voice didn't matter. And so, but then in the Western culture, it's like respect is more so you can have an opinion, and if you have a different opinion than someone else, you hopefully you will respect and say, oh, you know,
right,
I respect you for having a different opinion, you know.
Right. So we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we are talking with Emily Wu Truong from California, from the L.A. area. And we will be back in just a couple minutes, so hang in there. Emily, hang on.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterton County. The 27th annual Hunterton County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterton Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us Emily Wu Truong from California, near the L.A. area. And we were talking about things that Emily has come up with, events and so on and so forth, that she hosted for the Asian American Mental Health. And I would just like to say that I don't know about California, but I know here in New Jersey, and in fact, the local NAMI New Jersey, the statewide organization, has Asian family to family, Asian support groups. And I think that's pretty awesome, you know, because sometimes people of different cultures sometimes have a problem intermingling and, you know, opening up and talking about their problems. So with having an Asian support group and an Asian family to family class, it helps, I think.
Mm-hmm. I definitely believe so. The sad thing is that in our community, we don't have enough of those support groups in our area. We haven't been able to find the individuals who could volunteer their time. Although there is a one Asian family's support group in Cantonese, but I visited one time, but it wasn't a group that I could attend because I'm second generation and English is my most fluent language, and so yeah, there is a need for it, and I myself, I've gone to the LA County Board of Supervisors and I advocate for more services for the Asian immigrant population when they're not fluent in English, or any other non-English fluent people, because I say that if two summers ago when I was trying to access affordable mental health care, and if I was, you know, having my own mental breakdown for 3 days and I made over 60 phone calls, you know, imagine, and I couldn't really find any hardcore answers. Like, imagine how much difficult it would be for people who are not fluent in English.
Right, so, exactly.
You know, yeah, navigating the system is incredibly difficult. Some people were telling me, oh, Emily, like, You should have said that you were suicidal, and then you would get help. And it's like, I don't want to lie.
Maybe. But, you know, unfortunately, that's not only in your state.
Right.
That's all over the country. And that's the sad part.
It is.
You know, if somebody says they're going to hurt someone or hurt themselves, they right away get help. If they're just looking for help, you know, it's okay, see you in a couple of weeks, see you in 3 weeks or whatever, you know.
Right.
Now, I know for a fact that there was a survey done in our county, which is Hunterdon County. And according to the population and the people who are known to have mental health issues, we're supposed to have 34 psychiatrists. We have 9.
Wow.
So someone gets out of a state hospital, the ideal situation would be within the day and a half to see a psychiatrist and get a plan going as to what they're going to do, you know, day programs or whatever. But sometimes they get out and it's 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they fall back down and they're back in the hospital again. You know, and this is wrong. But it's just the way it is, you know. And unfortunately, some of the psychiatrists around, even not so much even in our area, but even in, you know, other surrounding counties, don't take insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, with what they charge an hour, how's the average person supposed to pay this, you know? You know.
All the craziness.
It is. And it's, you know, it's so sad because you want to help people, and yet they throw every obstacle that they can think of in the way of not letting you help people, you know?
I know. Yeah. I mean, even in Australia, they're dealing with the same thing too. There's an article called Mental Health Systems Focus. Well, basically there's this Asian, in guy, Martin Vo in Australia, and he was trying to get help, but he kept feelings of suicide and was forced to wait for a month for help, and he died. He ended his life.
Exactly, and this is what I'm saying. It's like, you know, and the system moves on, and it's snail pace and does its thing, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's just so sad.
It seems like the system is not organized enough to be able to refer the right resources or enough resources. Because, like, for example, support groups. Like, if someone can't find help immediately, especially if it's expensive or those sliding scale places or if mental health clinics are full, you know, I can't take anyone for a while. At the least, like, give them resources like NAMI, like support groups that don't require a huge amount of money. You know, because when I finally found Recovery International, wow, it was so practical, much more practical than like one-on-one sessions that I was going through. You know, because they actually give you practical skills to retraining your brain from being, you know, feeling those panic feelings of like, oh, I'm like, you know how sometimes when we are confronted with a emotionally distressful situation and then our feelings kind of tell our brain like, it's the end of the world, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
But Recovery International, you know, they give us real, you know, awesome tools to help us calm ourselves down. And it has changed my life so much. Like, they teach you things like helplessness is not hopelessness. I often say that in my speeches. And then endorse yourself for the effort and not just for the performance. So it's like it's teaching you how to have self-validation. And even if you're making mistakes, it means that you're still trying. And so you have to, you know, continue to give yourself that pat on the back, you know,
right,
for
exactly
every effort that you do, you know. And I think sometimes we don't do enough of that for ourselves because we, our society relies too much on external validation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, like seeking that outer approval when we could learn how to do inner approval.
That's,
know,
true. That's very true.
Yeah. So Recovery International has done wonders for me. And helping my mental health and staying composed, you know, like composure, like, wow, like things that would have affected me before. Like, for example, if someone is, I'm driving on the freeway and someone cuts me off, you know, the old me is like, ah, like,
yeah,
you know, I might have road rage or something. But after Recovery International, I'm like, okay, that's their negative energy of driving fast, and I'm not going to give in to that energy to need to rush and, you know, like have vengeance to get back or something. I'm going to go at my own pace and not, you know, deal with that energy, you know. So it's feeling like, wow, I'm keeping my power, you know, I'm not giving it away.
I don't chase them when they do that. I just jerk, you idiot, you know. But I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, and my wife just looks at me and shakes her head, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, because in Recovery International, they teach you people do things to annoy us, not necessarily to annoy us.
Right, so. Exactly.
You know, so it's just like, like, It's people are not necessarily doing it on purpose. Like, not on purpose, but I mean, like, what is it? Like, we shouldn't take it personally, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, because that happens all the time. It's not directed toward us, per se.
You know, you have some grassroots advocacies that you're continue to educate and bring awareness about mental health to your community. You want to elaborate a little bit about what they are and what you're doing?
So I can proudly say that I'm one of the newest board members for NAMI San Gabriel Valley. So I'm official, you know, and I'm really happy because I definitely look forward to being a part of the board to make more, to be a part of change in my community. I'm stepping down from the Asian Coalition. That was a partnership collaborative with the LA County Departmental Health, only because the drive to Koreatown from where I live is a bit far, and I'm paying my own gas money and wearing hair on my car to drive over there. So. And then I'm also on the Client and Family Leadership Committee of the MHSOAC. That acronym is a mouthful, actually. Mental Health Services Oversight and Accountability Commission. And so they're actually, that commission is responsible for how, seeing how the dollars of the Mental Health Services Act, Proposition 63 in California, are trickle down to the counties, and so they pay for my transportation going up to Sacramento to attend those meetings and as a volunteer. And you know, it's I got accepted to take that role in January. I also have been able to attend the Together Against Stigma conference, and it was an international one. Also held in San Francisco this past February, and people were there from all over the world, from Fiji to Mongolia, Hong Kong, the United Kingdom, Scotland, Australia, you know, all these, you know, continents or countries, and it's like, it just, it I couldn't help but not feel good because it's like, wow, you know, I'm not alone in this movement. And because this movement has gone on a level, it's a global issue, even that to the point that the World Health Organization talks about it. World Mental Health Day was just this past Saturday, October 10th. And I've been invited to speak at numerous places in this last year. Interviewed me last. I was just about to have my keynote speech at the Asian Hope and Recovery Conference that LA County Departmental Health hosted, and my keynote was called Believing in Me, My Journey to Finding My Self-Worth. And there were 400 people there, and then I also led a workshop on coping with feelings of inadequacy. And ever since that keynote 1 year ago, I've been invited to go speak at USC, UCLA, UC Irvine 3 times now. I Raytheon, the Aerospace Engineering Corporation, the International Bipolar Foundation, a webinar I did for them, for speaking on as a spokesperson for the California Mental Health Movement, Each Mind Matters, speaking before the LA City Council.
Would you consider moving to Jersey? We could use somebody like you.
If you have a keynote, if you have any conferences and would like to invite me, you know, I would be more than.
Well, I have to ask, because when we spoke before, are you learning to pace yourself without getting so involved that you're over your head and causing anxiety to yourself? And
okay, so I'm glad you asked, because even though being asked to be a speaker is such a thrilling thing for me, because every time I speak is very cathartic, right? But pacing myself, yes, I have been learning to pace myself. I know that in between, like, April to July, I had, like, about 20 speaking engagements in those 4 months. And afterwards, like, in August and September, I had fewer speaking engagements. And I was kind of happy about that, because I wanted to slow my pace down. I wanted to... And I told my, and because I've also been applying for jobs too, and so I tell myself that I need to. I talk to myself and I say, Emily, trust in the journey of your life. Trust in the unfolding of your life, and don't try to push things too hard, because when you push, sometimes you might meet resistance. Let life unfold as it should, and because the universe already knows what you want. And I think, like, because this last year is already demonstrates how much, like, dreams can come true. I know back in 2009, my dream was to be an aspiring motivational speaker. Now I am it. I am a motivational speaker.
Right.
And I don't even have my book yet out yet.
But, you know, I just throw out this because you're helping people, but if you crash, you can't help people. Right. So consequently, you've got to keep yourself motivated and learn when to stop for a day or two and take a couple times off or whatever. And maybe sometimes not accept a speech that they want you to give and do it at a later date. You know, you have to take care of yourself.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise, you can't take care of anybody else.
Most definitely. I certainly do agree. In this past year, there were moments when I did, you know, I would reach the edge of burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I would kind of just stay home. I would just, you know, or just, you know, do things that made me happy, to kind of, like, give myself props for all the achievements that I've made. I mean, like, this past March, I also got an award from my Senator Ed Hernandez for the 2015 Woman of the Year, Woman of Achievement Award for all of my efforts.
Wow, all right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you. And I was so happy. Like, my mom came, my sister came, and I told myself that I am my own hero because I had the power to take my own life, and yet I chose not to. And I also dedicated my award to each person who is struggling in silence,
mm-hmm.
and those who have also ended their lives, and because they did not die in vain, and they're not struggling in vain. And I think that, you know, for myself, though, I believe that my depression has actually served me well, because without my depression, I wouldn't be the motivational speaker that I am now. I wouldn't have been able to stumble across my own inner strength,
mm-hmm.
my resilience. And so it's like, even though when I was a child growing up, I was good at encouraging others, but my greatest weakness was encouraging myself. And so I just learned so much in this journey. And I'll leave you with this one last spoken word that I wrote in 2009. And it goes like this. It's called, We Are All Works in Progress. Know how to help yourself before you can truly help anyone else. Set an example for others if you know how. However, I know this is a constant lifelong learning process, so you don't have to be perfect because we are all works in progress. There are lessons to be learned in everything that we face from day to day. Without these lessons, we don't challenge ourselves to be better than who we already are. So work on being the best person you can be. See your true potential in life. Know that you don't have to make all the answers right now. Have all the answers. It takes time to find the answers to life. So just chill and relax from time to time. Take a moment to breathe and just be with yourself. Know that you were made for success in this life. You can reach your highest potential if you just believe in it. Have confidence in yourself. I have confidence in you.
So that's awesome.
That's how it, thank you. And you know, even though I wrote that to encourage others, I really wrote it to encourage myself.
Exactly. So, I will say this. You said something before that made my alert go up. You said that you get to the edge and then take a break.
Yep.
Well, I would strongly suggest, Emily, since you have so much to give others, that you don't get to the edge. You take a break before you get to the edge.
Most definitely.
I'm serious. Because, you know, it's just, like I said, you have come so far. And have helped probably more people than you can ever imagine. And you don't want to hit to that point where you crash.
Right.
So I would say before you get to that point of edge, step back and take a break of a day or two. Well, I'm not a doctor. I don't have, you know, I'm just saying from experience, you know.
Right.
We have about a minute and a half left. If someone wanted to reach out to talk to you or speak to you or email you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, my email address is emily.wu.trung@gmail.com, or they can also find me on Facebook, so facebook.com/MLEWU. That's my Facebook page, and I respond pretty quickly, and all my affirmations on my Facebook page are all about just encouraging others and knowing to learning to see their worth, recognize the value of their struggle in life, and that it's and that they're not alone. So I'm also on Twitter at Emily W Speaks, SPEAKS, and yeah, so I'm definitely available to be a resource and a speaker, and yeah, it's been a wonderful journey, and I, you know, when you say about the edge of burnout, this is what I always tell myself. Good work, Emily. You are doing an amazing job.
You certainly are. I promise you, Emily, you will be back. You will come back on the show, okay?
We'll do. It's been awesome.
And we'll have to stay in touch with email and stuff, okay?
For sure.
All right, Emily. Thank you so much. And remember, don't get to the edge. Step back just before that. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back again next week, folks. And remember, mental health really does matter.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Donald Trump says he and Democratic rival Bernie Sanders are in agreement on trade.
We have horrible trading deals. We're losing tremendous amounts of jobs, money, and everything else. And I don't think to the extent that I believe in it, but at least Bernie Sanders believes in that to a certain extent.
Speaking to reporters today in Manchester, New Hampshire, the GOP presidential frontrunner says Sanders knows the U.S. is being ripped off on trade. Trump says the Vermont senator feels strongly about trade, and he's the one politician who talks about it. Trump also weighed in on the gridlock in Washington, saying as president, he'll be able to work with a lot of Democrats, all the Republicans, and things will get done. Vice President Joe Biden, meanwhile, is running out of time to declare himself a candidate for president. The first Democratic presidential debate is tomorrow night in Las Vegas, and CNN says they're keeping a seat warm for Biden should he jump into the race. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Tonight, Best Time Ever with Neil Patrick Harris moves to a new time, 8, 7 Central, live on NBC.
Best Time Ever is so good, it's crazy good.
Well, speaking of good, next it's the battle round on The Voice.
With some truly amazing vocal talent.
Yes, followed by the big season premiere of Chicago Fire.
Okay, hold up. Last season there was a dead woman in Casey's apartment.
Ugh, yes.
But no Casey.
Right.
What happened to Casey?
I do not know, but we will find out tonight on NBC.
Casey better be okay, or there will be a lot of people upset.
Welcome to the show that really stinks, Odor Events, brought to you by Citrus Magic. Today, the Jones family will name all the odor events they can in 30 seconds. Ready? Go!
Rotten garbage can.
Yes, Molly.
Ew, musty basement.
Good. Jimmy.
Poopy diaper.
Yep. Haley.
Smelly socks.
Yes, Dave.
Stinky litter box.
Yes, Molly.
Ugh, funky fridge fumes.
Pro-life supporters say a woman claiming to be a pastor blessing an